Tuesday, April 29th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today's sermon text comes from Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus explains the divisive nature of the gospel message.
You will not understand or appreciate or even survive true Christianity until you understand what it's all about. Because it's easy to come and be a part of the church and do this traditionally and do this culturally for many, many years. The Christian ministry is warfare, and we can easily move away from this in our day to just pick what you want, to something that's easy, that has a form of godliness, but denies its power.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn as we're continuing our study in Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 this morning. I invite you to turn to that chapter. And we have divided this up into two sections, two sermons, which there's a lot here. But in page 969, we will be looking at verses 26 to the end of the chapter as Jesus is giving instructions to his apostles, sending them out for the ministry. So, beginning at verse 26, this is the word of the Lord. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And there will end the reading of God's word. We are in the heart of Jesus explaining what the Christian ministry will be and what it is like. I'm convinced there are so many principles at work in Matthew chapter 10. It's such an important passage. The apostles, in giving instruction, the pastoral epistles, I believe, very carefully looked at Matthew chapter 10. You can get it all right here when you look at the implications of all these things that Jesus just said. Far from everything being nice in Christian ministry as we really want it to be, Jesus here is absolutely shocking, isn't he? I mean, he really puts us on the edge of our seats about Christian ministry. He is making and helping the apostles to appreciate and understand what they can expect as they go out on this mini missions tour, if you will, ministering the gospel as he is sending them. It's a preview of coming attractions of the gospel going to the ends of the earth, here beginning as they're sent out to the house of Israel, to Israel first. And this is important for us to study. You will not understand or appreciate or even survive true Christianity until you understand what it's all about. Because it's easy to come and be a part of the church and do this traditionally and do this culturally for many, many years and still do it on false pretenses.
And that's a serious thing to think about, isn't it?
It's important to study the scriptures so that we're not ignorant about passages like this. Because if we are ignorant about what the ministry is, we'll never be satisfied with the church. We'll always be frustrated with the church. Because we look at the divisions and we look at the conflicts and we look at the strong stances and we look at all the battles that are fought and we become disgusted with it all. It's warfare. The Christian ministry is warfare. And we can easily move away from this in our day to just pick what you want to something that's easy, that has a form of godliness, but denies its power, as the apostle said. So I want to look at this today, this absolutely crucial passage, listening carefully to what Jesus is describing here, and then to understand it and appreciate so that you would have a good understanding of what is true and what is false when we see certain effects and consequences of ministry. We tend to judge it all wrongly. The main point here, the main point of what we're looking at is that Jesus is again commissioning the apostles to go out and to preach the gospel, to preach and bring the everlasting gospel to Israel in this case, to bring the kingdom with authority as he commissioned them to have. But he wants them to listen carefully to his instructions. He wants to caution them so that they understand what to expect. He wants to understand what should drive their ministry, that it should be the fear of the Lord. Did you notice how important that was in this section? The fear of the Lord. That's the heart of this today in his calls for them. So we look briefly here at his concern, his caution, and his consolation. If you want 3 points, there you go. His concern, his caution, and his consolation that are here mapped out for us in this second half of chapter 10. Now, we began this last time by looking at his instructions to go preach the gospel, to go out and take the gospel, and where households received it, think of Israel, covenantally, where households received it, peace was to come upon that household. But then Jesus says, I want you to be really wise and beware of men. There's lots of games that people are playing. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as you're doing this ministry. You have to beware, and there are points at which you shake the dust off your feet and you move on because they've rejected it. And I tell you this, it will be, and this is Israel, think of all the history of what they've been given, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city and that household. So this is serious. And so he spoke of two arenas of opposition that they would face as they go out and do the ministry. And all this is true to this day. All this is true to this day. The two arenas of opposition would be you will face opposition at times in the ministry from civil rulers, from magistrates who will oppose you. And they will put you on trial. They will put your doctrine on trial. And I don't want you to fear. I'll give you the words at that time if that happens, if I appoint that for you. It's all appointed that you may bear witness. And we looked at that last time. We tend to try to oppose all that with everything we can. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm in charge of that in putting you in those positions so that you have an opportunity to bear witness. I may put you in jail. That's how he looks at it. The other arena of struggle, he says, is going to be the family. And that's what we look at more today. You can expect you will be hated by all. And if they called me the master of my household, Beelzebub, they're going to call you that. Think about him. They were saying he had a demon. Now, this is not just for pastors. This is not just for those sent for ministry. It is in the sense of the immediate intention of the author here of Matthew. But all of these principles apply to you as servants and as those who serve as Christians in this life. You can deduce everything from this of what the Lord is after from us as his people, as those he left here to be his witnesses in the earth. So that's why this is so helpful for us. But in its primary way, it's helping us understand Christian ministry, and we need that. That's why we have pastoral epistles. We have to understand what's happening. We have to understand what's going on. And that's what this is all about. So that's where we pick up. In light of these oppositions in verse 26, Jesus says, I don't want you to have any fear. No fear. We laughed at that a few weeks ago in the sense of that was the slogan of the 90s, remember? And you can still get a t-shirt if you want. But Jesus' words are much stronger. I don't want you to have fear because you have a God who loves you. So there's four reasons I want you to fearlessly go out and preach the gospel. I want you apostles to fearlessly go out into the world and minister the everlasting word of God. Four reasons he gives here. And the first is, you'll notice in verse 26, so have no fear of them. For nothing covered will, that there is nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. So what he's saying there is the message has to go out. People have to be saved. I'm not losing one sheep in this, remember. And I've had compassion on the multitudes. I want to send you out with my word to preach it. But I want to encourage you with this. You could hear him pulling aside his apostles and instructing them before he sends them. I want to encourage you with this. You're going to face a lot of opposition. I want you to know this and remember this. None of it will go unpunished. Nothing that is covered right now will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. You continue to be faithful. You fearlessly go out and preach. All of this is going to come out in the wash at some point. There are going to be those who are vocally opposed to you in the ministry as you go out. And then there are going to be phonies who will smile at you and tell you you're great, but they're undermining the whole thing in closed doors. They're pulling away people after themselves. That's what Satan did. He pulled away people after the angels away and dragged them down because he hated the Lord. Same thing's going to happen in your ministries. It will be revealed who are true and who are false at the right time. The day will reveal it when the Son of Man comes. So I want you, verse 27, to, this is beautiful, preach openly. Don't do what they're doing. Preach openly. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. Jesus has been giving lots of private teaching to them. And he's commissioning them there. You go preach the whole counsel of God that I've given you. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. I've been saying many things to you. You take my word and you preach it openly. You say without fear all that I have said, all that I've commissioned, all that I've given you. Courageously, you say the comforting things and you say the hard things. That's why Paul said, probably from this, I do not shun to preach the whole counsel of God. Such a commission to preach the word freely and to preach the word in season, out of season. Again, pastoral epistles was taken from this. Now, all of this applies to Christianity in some way, us as Christians, doesn't it? To be fearless in making known the truth. You see how easy it is for ministry to avoid this for the sake of offending people and entertaining people. How many churches are so worried about offending their youth and offending people that they live in this fear all the time and they wonder why their church doesn't grow. He got this right from Christ, the apostles. Paul dealt with all the time when he constructed pastors. We are not as so many peddling the word of God, but with an open statement, open commendation of the truth, we preach to every man's conscience. We are trying to be clear. We are trying to be direct. We're giving the whole counsel of God. And we're not living in fear of men. How many times have pastors faced people in the church who tried to control the pastor's message? The wealthy. This is all in the history of the church. Speak the whole counsel. Do not live in these fears. And then second, Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So there's kind of the heart of this, I believe, that he is saying to his apostles, I want the fear of the Lord to drive you. Not fear of judgment, but that not the fear of men. A fear that says, we're worthy. He has made us worthy servants to announce the gospel. And he's the one who's king. He's the one who holds everyone's life in his hand. And he determines destinies. This is why Paul said, I do not persuade men. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. I don't want you fearing men in your decisions and in your messages. You give open proclamation of truth. You do it with compassion. There are so many temptations to shrink back the effectiveness of what is being said because we just want to be diplomatic. And we want to try to have people like us. God doesn't bless ministries like that. There's one to fear. Here's the reality. They can only destroy your bodies if they don't like it. If you fear men, you're not fearing God, who has the power to destroy. He's talking about eternal destruction, body and soul in hell. I think that principle's lost today. I think that's one of the most important principles that makes any of us who go into ministry should make us fear and tremble. There's a healthy fear of God, a right fear of God, one of reverence, one of awe, who we're serving, knowing that his son was so hated he was put on a cross. And why? Because he spoke truth. Do you hate me because I spoke truth, said Jesus? You're counted worthy. Fear God, not men. Number three, third directive. Then he speaks to them tenderly, doesn't he? As if saying, I know, I don't think this of you when you face hardship. Remember, you're my children. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. You're worth more than them. Your very hairs are numbered. Remember this in ministry, and this is for you too, but this is a real encouragement for sent servants. This was a real encouragement for them. In all the opposition, it's easy to think that God is not for us and that God has forgotten us. Like Elijah hiding in the cave after Jezebel came after him and Ahab. What are you doing here, Elijah? He wants all those servants, and this includes you, to know that you're loved and you're cared for by the Lord. That's what matters. That's what matters. He's watching over the hairs of your head. He cares about you. He loves you that much. There's no reason to fear men. They have no power over you. They don't even have a power over a hair of your head. That's what he's saying. They don't have a power unless it's granted to them. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much I love my servants. You're way more valuable than sparrows who don't even fall down out of the sky and die apart from his will, and they're sold for pennies. You think you're made in the image of God and not worth much more? Finally, he gives one more directive. Then it goes like this. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. What he's saying is so beautiful here. I'd never thought about this before. But he's saying something to encourage servants. He's saying it to encourage them. I don't want you to go out and just be vocal transmitters. Meaning, you're not just voice boxes. You're not just robots. In your service, I want you to confess me. I want you to confess me as pastors from the heart. Romans 10, if you confess with the mouth and believe in the heart, you'll be saved. Meaning, I want the ministry to come from your heart. Confess me to people. Have your heart in it. You can do ministry. You can try to be a Christian without ever confessing Him. That doesn't work. You can do church. You can play the game without ever confessing Him. You can do a lot of religious stuff without ever confessing Him. You can do all the forms and keep all the principles and follow all the things and have not love and you're nothing. You must confess Him. Tell people about Him because it radiates from you. All that He's done for you. Any pastor knows it's easy just to give information. He's Lord. He's King. The King came and died for us. He's the Lord and ruler over all. He's been highly exalted. He's raised. And the encouragement here is that the testimony comes from the heart. What an encouragement to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Give the message. Live in the Lord's fear. Know you're loved. Confess Him from the heart. You will be honored. What a calling for servants and what a calling for you. All this applies. Now, here's where it all gets put to the test. Sounds good, doesn't it? What will be the area of greatest struggle in ministry? Where is all of that, what I just said, going to be put to the test? Where? What arena? What is singled out here as one of the greatest challenges of ministry? What arena of opposition will we find to be the fiercest? And here we come to something utterly shocking. It's Jesus' great caution in ministry. Here it is. This is verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Sword means division here. When the disciples and apostles heard that, it must have been shocking.
Sorry we have to cut it so short. We hope you'll be able to join us next time for part two of Pastor Chris's sermon here in Matthew chapter 10. You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, God bless. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.